This is a production of Cornell University.
I want to start by announcing the election results from our May 7th executive session, for those of you who are not there, and to get it officially on the record. I was elected chairperson. Kumar Thompson was elected executive vice chair. Jeff Key was elected vice chair for operations. And Masa Haddad is the ranking member. We also elected committee chairs, Logan Kenny for Codes and Judicial Committee, David Heiner for Campus Welfare Committee, Chris Barth for the Campus Infrastructure Committee, and Charlie Van Loon will be chairing the Budget Planning Committee. We should probably take a roll call to member. If you got the list of members, can you call up names? So we know who's here officially? While you're working that, are there any late additions to the agenda? Silence. That's good.
Should have a new clerk also.
Yeah, can you introduce yourself again to the group, just to hear a clip, right?
Hi, my name is Carol Fassi.
Welcome.
Adam Howell.
Here.
Andy Barrientos Gomez.
Here.
Charles Van Loon.
Here.
David Heiner.
Present.
Ellis Lowell.
Here.
Gavin Martin.
He's on his way. Yeah.
Gina Gamba.
That's okay. I'm here.
Amadi Allen. James Bogdanowicz. Jeff P. Joel Molina. Joseph Anderson.
Here.
Christopher Barth.
Present.
Logan Kenny, Martin Hatch, Masa Haddad,
here,
Hilar Thompson,
here,
Ranel Mensa, Robert Howard,
here,
Richard Benzel,
here,
Shane Lobo,
thank you. As I say, we have a quorum, so we will proceed. Let me just make a couple of statements and updates, announcements. First, the University Assembly has a really special place in the campus community. It's really the only place where elected representatives of students, staff, and faculty can come together and substantive discussion. So pleased that have all agreed to serve. One change we're making this year, we're proposing to meet somewhat less often as a whole of BUA than in the past. And I hope that will make it more effective rather than less effective. We have an executive committee, four of us here, but I've also asked the four major committee chairs to join as part of an executive cabinet. And we'll be meeting once a month in between the full BUA meetings. So the hope is to get the committees are the workforces where the nitty-gritty work is done by having the four chairs and the executive meet as a group. My hope is that we're well coordinated and focused what the committees are doing and keep it online. Towards the end of the meeting, Charlie will talk about something we also want to introduce, which is an online forum approach, which we're hoping will allow for much more detailed discussion, but occurring outside of our regular. The goal is to have more discussion, not less, but still have less often. A couple of updates. Over the summer, I met a couple of times with President Pollack and spoke with her on the phone a couple of times. President Pollack and Madeline Wessel, the University Council, and I also met with Logan Kenny, the chair of the campus Judicial Code Committee, for about an hour back in June. And basically, President Pollack called me up in late May and then again in June and wanted to know where we were with the divisions of the campus code. Those of you who knew, UA has been working on that for 2 years, but we didn't really pull it off last year. There's really some strong sense we need to do better. President Pollack offered the full help of anyone in the administration, and I took her up on that, and Madeline Wessel, University Council, and their staff have been working on major revisions, which I sent you the draft of last week. And Madeline, I met with her again this morning. She's reiterated that she would like to be as helpful as possible. She has some ideas that I think are quite constructive in terms of how we can make the document more clear, more straightforward. She recognizes that in the end, the authority for us to do so. But on the other hand, if we want to keep that authority, we really need to do a good job this fall. So that's one thing. We also had communications from the provost, Mike Kotlikoff, and Vice President Joel Molina. The provost is setting up a new group called the Sustainable Cornell Council that gets rid of the old senior leaders climate action group and the president's council on sustainability. And they have three operating committees within this new sustainability council. The provost formally asked the university assembly to appoint liaisons to that. And since the idea was to get it going by now, which hasn't quite happened, but that was the goal, I asked the executive committee to make those appointments in association with Chris Barth, who's the chair of the campus infrastructure committee. So we appointed Chris Barth to the campus operations committee, Caroline Levine to the education and engagement committee, and me to the carbon neutral campus committee. All three of us were on the campus infrastructure committee last year, and I've asked Chris and the CIC this year to coordinate the activities of the liaisons with the entire UA so we can represent the community as a whole. Yeah, approval of the minutes. You all have they're attached here from last May. If you were not a member of the assembly then, it's awkward, but if you were, you're at the meeting. I would ask for a motion to approve.
A motion to approve the minutes.
For a second. Okay. Any corrections? Comments?
Not sure I remember if there were.
It was an exciting meeting.
It was very fast paced.
Okay. All those in favor, approving minutes, raise your black or hand. Opposed? Abstained? Okay, one abstention, otherwise
Marty
abstained. Yep. Otherwise, the minutes passed by all of their present members. So, business of the day. I've gone through what the executive committee is and what our goals are. And again, the UA's always had an executive committee. The purpose here is to get the meet-and-greet committees working solidly with the executive committee. Are there any questions on that before I move on? Okay. Next item, our bylaws say that this body has to approve our meeting schedule. So we have proposed the dates that you see there under 2BA, September 3rd today, et cetera. Basically once a month, one more meeting in the spring and in the fall.
And the executive cabinet would be meeting on the day where we would have had regular meetings.
Yeah, not quite, but in between. Right. Yeah. Richard,
I got a question. So it says all 2019 seven meetings and there are four dates.
There should be.
This is the fourth.
So it shouldn't be seven. It shouldn't be four. What's going on?
There are five dates in 2020.
It's that draft.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at a different version.
Yes, this was one that was sent out. So unfortunately, Richard, this it was just a draft. I think it was just from an old template.
Ah.
So you'll see on the agenda.
It should be 4 meetings.
Correct.
And then it should be 5 meetings.
5 meetings. Correct. Yeah.
So the meeting dates are the ones on the agenda themselves.
On the agenda.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that. Other questions?
Just as a point of clarification for the executive cabinet meetings and how they work in conjunction with the schedule, will there be public minutes released, like, as to the same degree as there are public minutes released from our assembly meetings, like, essentially?
Good question. We haven't discussed it.
Okay.
We will have an agenda drafted, and that will be made public.
Okay. But meeting minutes, that's still up in the air.
We literally haven't discussed it. If people think it's important, we can take it under advisement. My view is that these will be fairly informal and, you know, just seeing what's going on. In this case, I'm not opposed to minutes, but my hope is to make them short, informal, and productive. Yes.
In addition to that, are these going to be closed executive meetings, or is there going to be possibility for?
At least at first, we'll do them as closed business. I mean, the tradition of the UA has been for the executive committee to meet in closed session. We're just doing that with the addition of the four chairs.
And a clerk is not scheduled to be present at those meetings.
We will not have a clerk. And we won't have food.
Yeah.
Just in case you feel like you're missing out on something.
Yeah, if you're not.
Other comments? Yeah.
I guess I'll just request that in those meetings, like, at least, like, something is sent out to the UA membership of, like, action items that are given to the committee chairs that they are working on, so that we could, like, at least know, like, what is the future of these committees when we come back to the next meeting. We're like, oh, okay, this makes sense of what you were working on.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good idea. I mean, yeah. my purpose is to facilitate communication, not be secretive.
Yeah.
But still informal. So. Other questions, concerns? I'd request a motion to approve the dates, the 9 dates.
Motion to approve the schedule.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion, any concern? All those in favor, say aye. Aye. Raise your hand. I'm getting it through. Okay. Opposed? Abstain? The dates are approved unanimously. Let me just say, by way, backing up a little bit to introduction, I know most of you, I don't know all of you. My eyesight's pretty good. It's not perfect in terms of reading these things.
Mine's not good, just saying.
And I will do my best to call on people in order. And I'm pretty functional as an academic for a long time, but I also am dyslexic, just to let you know, which means that you backed me up with a lot of confusing things, and I'm asking you for help. So if it looks like I'm ignoring you and asking her for help, that's what I'm doing. Don't take it personally. Okay, I want to get right into the main item, which is the committees. And we have 4 committees. This is where most of our work and discussion should be at least developed at early stages together with the online forum we're going to find. So I've asked each of the chairs to come today. We met as a group of this cabinet last week, and I've asked them to come today and talk about what they see as the priority for their committee of the year. Now, clearly, the committees haven't met until those could change, but it's a chance for them to say and for the entire UA to weigh in on what the issues are before we get too deeply off into this. So, Chris, you want to go with Stacy?
Sure. Hello, everybody. My name is Christopher Bark. You can call me Chris. I am the chair of the CIC this year, the Campus Infrastructure Committee. The description of the committee is reviews and approves proposed motions related to environmental impact and sustainability, information technology, transportation and commuter policies, and any other topics deemed relevant to the campus infrastructure by the University Assembly Executive Board. I come to the UA from the EA, and I'm sitting next to the EA chair currently right now, and I've enjoyed being part of shared governance in the last year. I was also on the CIC where Bob was the chair. And I was thinking about it, and I would let you know that the CIC is on a mission of purposeful discovery. Like all of our committees here in the UA and the EA and in all shared governance, our goal should be to search out information and to share it, especially if we find something good. In the pursuit of that knowledge, making sure we value free and open expression and trying to take on all ideas, even things that seem maybe a little bit strange to us for the face value. All of our members of the CIC come from different backgrounds. They have their own perspectives and experiences, and we're all going to be volunteers. So I want to ensure that we work together this year in an environment of respect and represent the university's best interests, especially when we're having community conversations. Our job as a committee is to explore the boundaries inside and outside of the university. And you know, you might hear silos or central and decentralization, but that's the cool thing about being a part of this is we're allowed to go places and ask questions. The things that we can do here, even in our committee, can affect positive change at Cornell and across the entire state. Cornell has 62 cooperative extensions, one in each county, where if we did something here, a good idea can spread fast across the whole New York State. And our job is to advance solutions for a sustainable future here at Cornell and for anybody else. So that's sort of like the what and maybe, or the how, and maybe the what and the how, but more specifically, the things that we're looking at we sent a letter to the provost where we outlined a bunch of different ideas last year as the culmination of our sort of working report. A lot of those ideas are actually going to be absorbed into the SCC, what Bob mentioned is the new Sustainability Council. The things that we looked at were the promotion of electric vehicles on campus, coming up with a program to provide carbon offsets for faculty travel or any university travel, with the idea that if you take a plane from here to California and back while you're on Cornell business, finding out a way that you can offset using carbon offsets and potentially some of the local programs like Sustainable Conference. We did actually over the summer have a faculty member who was a part of this conversation, reached out a little bit further than we did initially and got a little bit of traction with the Concord team, and that's the Business and Travel and Expense team. And so DFA and the Concord team is interested in talking with us about what kind of buttons or processes they could add to the expense system to make it easier for people to select something. We're also hoping to work with the CPC. Marty Hatch and I last year were the CPC liaisons, which is the Campus Planning Committee. It's a affiliate group to the UA that is based a bunch of the university professionals about how the campus is designed and implemented. Marty and I co-wrote a resolution that was tabled until now, so get ready for it, about the creation of a campus circulator. A campus circulator is something that is talked about in so many different plans out there that Cornell has, and I've been in enough meetings where I started to ask questions at the Board of Trustees. So we talk about this a lot for the last 11, 15 years, but it never exists yet. The closest thing we have to a circulator is like Route 82 on TCAT that goes all around campus. But we come to find things like only first-year students get TCAT free. The buses run at interesting times. They just made a change where they took it away from the staff at Maple Avenue, where I work, to try to make different accommodations. And there's a big impact. So the circulator sort of is outlined talking about a different idea for a transit system where people can get around a lot easier on campus, no matter what your role is. Now, we specifically in that resolution do not specify what it should be made out of, airplane moats, you know, blimps. It's just an idea that we want this as a university priority. We want to see a proof of concept, something be designed and implemented in 3 years, and then have it be fully fledged in 5 years. That's something I'll be interested in asking for the UA, the EA, the GPSA, and the SAs, and the EA's support in as we go into this a little bit later. I represent IT, tech transfer, and research. When you hear reduce, reuse, and recycle, the first word in that is reduce. And it was told to me throughout my travels that reduction is the main way we're going to ever meet our carbon neutral 2035 goal. No matter how many solar panels that we put up or new sources of energy, we don't change the way our behaviors are. And that got me thinking, is IT doing its job on campus of making sure that we are having responsible energy policies across all the computer resources? That one's a tricky one because you can't actively, you know, impact the research or the academic mission. Things need to be on when people need them to be on for security. But I did write a proposal for us to create an IT at Cornell Green team to work with the CIC and the Sustainable Councils to take a look at the idea and try to create a policy that either individuals can opt in and say, hey, I really wish my monitors would go off, but I would be backed up and patched, and this would save this power. So it could be an opt-in program for faculty, staff, and students, you know, computer labs. Or it could be something that's a little bit more lightweight, but can go all the way across the university. So asking those questions, and it's been something I already approached the IT directors about and said, hey, I really want to come knock on your door. And there are already green teams at the vet school and the College of Human Ecology that we could work closely with. CIT is also working currently on the next generation campus network. So it's like, what is the campus network going to be like in the next 10 years? So we have IT in there. It'd be interesting to just sit in a meeting and hear what they're talking about and then bring that back to the UA. I did make a note that there was an improved 100 gigabit network for Cornell researchers, and that showed up about in May. And so this is one of those things where we have really great assets that's going to help speed up the way that we find answers to all life's questions, making sure that information gets to everybody so we know what's going on. We're interested in tracking divestment. The idea of divestment at Cornell was addressed, I believe, in 2015-ish, where the Board of Trustees took a really, really hard look at it and basically asked for a large burden of proof for us to show that individual companies in the endowment portfolio were causing undue harm on the environment. So divestment is like a prickly pear of a topic. And so what I was thinking about is, in the CIC, we should keep track of what our peers are doing, what in higher end, what our company is doing, and then be able to write a divestment informational memo to all the administration and say, hey, look what is going on. At the same time, I was thinking that there was a chance for the Cornell Retirement Fund to create a new potential fund where employees would have an opportunity to invest in themselves and in the future of the planet. So it would be a fund that would contain a bunch of sustainable related technologies, companies, and events, and those kind of things. It would also be one of those option to opt in kind of things. So when you're looking at your employee TIAA or your Fidelity, there is a potential that we could work with the benefits department as well as those entities. And I have heard other universities have done it, because the retirement fund for employees is also a nice sized bit of money. And if it does happen where the employees start to self-select into investing into a sustainable future, they'll make it a little bit easier to convince the rest of the university that if all the staff and the faculty are going this way, maybe the university should speed up its pursuits.
Hey, Chris, let me politely cut you off.
For sure.
Because everything you're saying is interesting, but I want to make sure everyone has a chance to give you some input before you go back to your committee. And then the sort of detail of the committee is great to come back, right?
Yep. Well, I'm done, so I'm open for feedback.
All right, I'm sorry. People have comments, suggestions?
Yeah. Very ambitious. Do you have any priorities in terms of what you're going to do first?
I think that's going to be dictated by what the SEC picks up, you know, the bigger committee, and so we'll be sort of like a functional arm. These are not all things that I imagine I'm going to be able to accomplish even in 2 years. It is just like my list of ideas before we meet with as the committee members all together. It's also going to be important to find out what the committee members are passionate about, because these are just things that I know exist, and all of us have to do this together. So you know, if we could get one of those things halfway done, I would be pretty happy. But there are things that I picked specifically which were you could go a lot farther with a smaller amount of energy, which I feel is very sustainable.
Is the first meeting scheduled?
Not yet, but we're hoping to meet before the end of September. Thank you.
Other questions, comments? All right. On the agenda, we have the CKC next with Logan Kenny, but Logan's not here. I'm not quite sure why, because coming, but let's, David, are you willing to jump to the campus welfare?
Sure. So Chris had a lot of information that he talked about. I, however, am going to recap last year and where we're at, and get some feedback on where we could probably move forward. So last year, we ended the year for the third year in a row not having a tobacco survey completed and or administered to the Cornell community. So one of the things that I would like to have be completed within the first, actually within the semester, is to have either a survey sent out to campus and recommendations through a resolution how to proceed forward for Martha. The first page here is the revised survey that we had at the end of the year. It was really slimmed down from about 35 questions down to 11. I think that's right. Do you remember?
Yeah.
This really should not be a very long survey for somebody to take. It should only take them about 5 to 10 minutes. And it really is just to gauge what the tobacco usage is across campus. One of the concerns we do have is reaching union staff employees. They often do not have access to a computer. And we also are limited by funds. So getting somebody to type in information into a survey would be costly and time consuming.
Can I just add a little bit of background about the at our meeting, I think it was in May, the UA decided that President Paul should be asked if she wants to come up with funds to take her. That request was never made, it turns out. I did bring it up with her towards the end of June, parenthetically, and she basically said, you know, up to the UA to make a recommendation to her, but she wasn't sure why we were spending years doing surveys when perhaps we should be working towards advanced. Bottom line is, I mean, I did not formally ask her for funding for it, and therefore she did not turn us down. But I think she would turn us down if I were to ask her.
It would cost about $5,500 to do a survey through the Survey Research Institute, which I think is costly. And I don't know that it's necessary to go through that type of a survey. We could do a Qualtrics survey, get it out as fast as possible, at least capture some data, and go from there. My philosophy is we could suggest that we do a tobacco ban and work to provide the resources to staff and faculty and students to be able to cope with that through the Cornell Health Services. But I'm happy to hear people's suggestions, maybe tweaks to the survey. You don't have to respond now. You can always email me.
Yeah. It seems to me the type of issue, I have my own personal view, but I'm just one vote. But it seems the sort of thing where we as the UA should give a guidance to the with some guidance, if we have guidance, then you can do a better job of figuring out how to do it. But my hope would be, and we haven't given you a lot of time to think about this, maybe you can't think about today, maybe this is an example of something we do through Charlie's online forum. But if you have comments or questions now, it's fine. Otherwise, we'll figure out a mechanism for having this discussion. What happened last year is that just about a year ago, we decided to move ahead really quickly, and then it went off to the committee. Given the portion of that, I want to avoid.
Yeah.
Richard.
Two questions. One is with the discussion last spring about the picture, the video, the online.
Yes.
There
were several images that were talked about in terms of communication and outreach, that type of stuff. But I don't think we went anywhere with those.
Because the ones that were offered or proposed look like, for to me and just some others, it looked like they were prejudicial.
Yes, I kind of agree with that.
Okay, so anyway, you're working on that. The other is how many responses do you anticipate?
So
what's a ballpark range?
If you ask any survey expert, if you get 30%, you're doing good.
So you're talking about 5, 10,000, 7,000?
what is there, 25,000 staff faculty students, all of that. So 5,000 would be a good response.
And you would process those yourself?
Sure. I mean, it's
a lot.
Yeah, no, it is a lot. You're right. It wouldn't be my first time processing a survey, but
okay.
I just feel like we've sat on this since I was chair of CWC, which is now since I was a sophomore. I just feel like we all know which way we want to trend it towards, which is just banning it on campus. And like, yes, it would make sense for us to try to like provide as much data as possible to senior leaders, but at a certain point, we don't have that capacity to be able to go a wide-scale wellness campaign for students, staff, and faculty. And that's really on them to decide. And I just feel like we know our own bias as this assembly. I don't think I've like talked individually to like everyone who's new, but like anyone who served on this, like for my 3 years, like I pretty much am like, we all kind of know where we stand. So I think it just, I guess I'm at the point where it would be my preference just for us to debate a ban at the university assembly, engage people if they want to come to a university assembly meeting and engage them with that, and allow the senior leadership team to make that decision, and then feel the, and then they go and they create the effects with the actual public health professionals, HR professionals that they should really be doing.
Chris.
As an employee, I feel like this issue potentially is gonna impact employees in a different way than students and faculty. There is just, employees are in a position where if you are someone that is addicted to nicotine, you don't really have a big choice. And if this is a workplace that we want to continue to have people feel welcome at, asking for their opinion is literally in our new core values. So what I would suggest to get rid of the delay is that we send out the Qualtrics survey to everybody that we know can get emails, but then the UA make a special effort, possibly all of us, to physically be present at places where there are a grounds town hall, a building care town hall, a dining hall town hall, where we let everybody know this is what we are trying to do and your answers are extremely important. And this is the end of the survey, whatever the date would be, probably something reasonable, you know, by December or maybe earlier. That way we can't say that we didn't ask, but it would take, you know, it's the vocal 20% of staff who are going to feel left out in the cold. Potentially literally that I have to advocate for the employees that we put our own bodies in the room with them and say, this is a question we want to look at.
Karen? Yeah, I totally agree with Chris, everything you said. And then of course, there's lots of paper versions of this survey out there. You can't make decisions that affect people's lives without being systematic about trying to find out how they think. And so I really support what Chris says. And I'm in favor of just doing a Qualtrics survey. It won't cost that much. And
Jeff. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I think based on last year's conversation, since most of us are speaking now, we're on the CWC, the main concern for us from our end now is UA's funding, right? Because the main issue is that logistically we can do the Qualtrics survey. But in terms of getting enough feedback from union staff, especially through these paper formats, since we're going to get the funding for that, and that's something we could probably discuss more as a group about where to allocate funds for it.
And then if you could briefly mention the type of support that some of the cities taking from Cornell, are there any additional resources available?
I don't believe there are currently. Mm-hmm. Some of them, so in earlier versions of the survey, there were questions that would ask what type of cessation, basically what type of service you would use. And a lot of them ranged from nicotine gum to patches to counseling to cold turkey quitting. But I don't believe there are any currently. But I would advocate that if we were going to ban tobacco use, we would put forth a survey or ask Cornell Health to put forth a survey, finding out what cessation products that they would use.
Other questions, comments?
Yes. Let me ask you.
My name is Ted Shealy, coordinator for Tobacco-Free Tompkins at the Tompkins County Health Department. And I've been following this along actually since Bill was a freshman and Ulysses Smith was the chair of the committee. And I really appreciate David and Bob really continuing this on and the work that Jill has done over the years. I just would like to throw out one more option, which is just a reminder and maybe a possible option, is that the best practices for this kind of an undertaking are that there's at least 15 months, which would be 3 semesters of planning before something takes place. So you don't say we're going to ban it and then boom, all of a sudden it's done. Another option would be if the UA decided actually to go forward, and then rather than do your surveys and your town halls prior to that decision, you do it as part of the planning process after. So you go to your constituencies and say, okay, this is happening. Now, how can we make it work for you? What do you need either to help you break the addiction of nicotine, which is very difficult to do, or it's just all the different kinds of things that people need to think about, and those who do use nicotine need to think about prior to D-Day coming down. So that's just another way of thinking about it is, say we're gonna do it, and then you go out, you know, ideally the UA, the president's office, forms a committee, which then has a similar representation to what you have now, and then that's when you go out to your constituencies and say, okay, how are we gonna make this work for everyone? Because if it doesn't work for everybody, then you might as well not do it. If the idea is to change norms and to change, and to make it, I mean, we have to think about the people who are addicted, but we also have to think about the people who are really put at high risk if they are exposed to secondhand smoke. And that is not a joke. That's not something that's not an, oh yeah, well, who is like that? Or that's not really very many people. That's a lot of people. And it's a very serious issue. So it's got to work, and the planning has to be done properly for it to work. And so that's just another way of doing it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's helpful. So how do we want to move forward? I mean, we should give guidance to the committee. You have some things, but I don't think you probably know quite what you want to do. Or maybe you do.
I would move forward with the survey in a Qualtrics format.
Qualtrics.
Do what Chris has suggested, go to town hall formats, let them know that it's available, and to encourage them to fill out the survey. Like Ted had suggested, you know, not banning it like on this day, but to work towards a date, whether it be a year and a half, 2 years in advance. Allow Cornell Health to get their cessation plans in order and move forward.
Richard?
Everything except the last, I think you should move. I mean, we don't know the results of the survey.
We don't know the results.
So say you move in ahead with the ban is premature. That's like, but the rest of it, you move that. So you move acceptance of this survey, putting it out, say almost immediately, right? That's what this says.
Mm-hmm.
And then you report back in the town hall meetings. We leave that up to you to schedule. So is that it? Would you move that?
I would move that. Yeah.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion is made and seconded. Discussion on the motion.
I have a question about the survey format that is relevant to this. That is there a prologue that discusses the issue in terms that, I'm sorry,
Ted
clearly put through?
That's a good question.
And well, I guess that's a rhetorical question, because I'd say if it wasn't, that would be a very important element to the survey, because it would tell people it's not a vindictive thing. It has to do with a health on campus and you know, and it provides options and all those other things. But it could be a very thorough prologue that says this is why we're doing what we're doing.
Thank you.
I have a question for Chris. You know, there used to be this a newsletter, Paw Print, right? That was a hard copy, and it went to employees by and large. That was canceled. Now you have these Wednesday messages from President Moldo, from Molina. So it seems, given what we said here about the difficulty in reaching the breadth of the employees, that was a real step backward. Is that correct?
Well, I believe the Cornell Chronicle still exists, and that sort of is the spiritual successor of that, but it's different than the newsletter that Joel Molina sends out.
I mean, if we had Paw Print, you could actually use that for, like what Marty was saying, and also as a device to advertise the survey.
Yeah,
that's gone, right?
I would say it is, but we can do anything at Cornell, Charlie. So we have a really strong communications committee as part of the EA, which is someone who works for university communications. So if we wanted to get as broad of a message out there of here it comes, this is what it means, this is the participation, the same way that we ran the employee assembly election would be sort of the same vehicle that we're going.
We can also work with the university employee who oversees the union representation. So they can also be an advocate for the survey.
Well, it sounds to me broadly, we have a motion to move ahead with the survey, probably with a strong prologue. With it, make sure we advertise it to the appropriate groups, and we try to do so expeditiously.
Do you have, like, so we as the undergrads always have an issue about reaching every undergrad. Like, we don't have that ability to do that as a student assembly. So would the CWC be willing to go to the university registrar and get the master list to send the survey out to all students? Because we don't even have that ability as the student assembly, except on a monthly basis. And that's the only time we can do it. Like,
does the office have an email list for all students?
I mean, like Ryan sends stuff out whenever there are emergencies. These are all software.
I think we can get it. Yeah.
We'll make it work.
Yeah.
And we should do it expeditiously. So,
Gavin, did you have a question?
No, it was just a point of order. It's my understanding that a motion wasn't made for their survey. So a second to the motion, there was like a null second.
I took it to mean David made a motion.
Sorry.
He didn't articulate it strongly, but I took it to mean easier. But a good question. And I tried to rephrase what I thought the motion might be. It's perhaps not great Robert's rules of order, but it's a way to think so. Further discussion? Are we ready for a vote? We know what we're voting on? Okay. All those in favor, raise your placard again.
What are we voting on?
Okay, we're voting on creating the survey through Qualtrics, sending it out to all staff, faculty, undergrad, professional, grad students, or all grad students. Reviewing the survey results, going to town hall meetings before, if we can, for the union staff, encouraging them to fill out the survey, and reviewing the survey results.
And having a strong prologue on the public health issue.
Right.
Community. Okay. All those in favor? Opposed? Abstained? One abstain. Okay. All in favor except one abstain. Thank you.
This one. There was also one other item that was left undiscussed last year. We did support the resolution for childcare, and Martha Pollack did respond to it. I did put the response in paper so you could review it. Basically, the response is Cornell will not sponsor expanding the childcare option at Cornell. And they've said that wait times are not given to people because there's some confusion about that. There's general wait times. She also did go on to say that there are resources that staff and faculty and students could use to find nanny, babysitters, other healthcare throughout the community. if there is anything that anybody wants to try to follow up on, I can always work with Michelle Artaby in Human Resources to find out additional information and bring it back.
Martin.
Yeah, I have a suggestion. My wife and I, to a certain extent, have been involved in child care issues for about 30 years here in Ithaca. And the bottom paragraph in President Pollack's response says that Vice President Mary Opperman and her team are working closely with Child Development Council of Compton County. This is a resource that's quite vigorous and able to provide, that is Child Development Council, and eager to perform the services that are requested and find the opportunities and look for new solutions. So what my suggestion to the committee is that it do a monthly request to the administration as to progress with that, and whether they need some assistance in looking at the in this confab that they're developing, because Child Development Council works with parents, it works with for providers and so forth quite vigorously. If there is exploring new strategies, then we should be on board and saying, wonderful, let's keep going. What are those new strategies? Let's look at them. Let's advance them. So I guess what I'm saying is there's lots of support in the community beyond the university for this, and the opening that this sentence presents, it would seem to me would be a useful one to vigorously, you know, push. And thank you.
Thank you. Other comments or questions? I'd like to move on to the TJC if we can. We've got 45 minutes left.
I have one more thing, if I could.
Absolutely.
If you haven't, or if you are thinking of joining the CWC, please do so. I have scheduled meetings. They are on Fridays from 12 to 1 in Martha Van Rensselaer. I can't remember what room I reserved, but I can send that to you and you can pass it on.
That'd be great. So, and anyone's welcome to go to those meetings.
Yes.
Good. Thank you. Logan, let's try to do it in about 15 minutes. And yeah. I'll join you with my sense of memory and politics as you get into it.
Yeah, I'll try to keep it brief. So everyone received the draft that we received from the council's office. This morning, I was finally able to track down our working draft from the CJC last semester. I've been trying to do that since June, so I feel like that's a big success, and I'll be circulating that right here from class. So next steps are going to be, well, first let me backtrack and say that the council's office doesn't feel like their working draft was necessarily ready to be read and reviewed, but Bob and I insisted that this is an urgent matter, and we are going to continue working on the revisions. So if they can give us their suggestions, that's our best way of moving forward with them in the process. So they would have preferred to have a few more weeks, and they wanted to get across that the draft is focusing on like the larger picture so far, with details on procedural approaches, but those procedural approaches have not yet been drafted. So we have a lot of things to discuss, and Bob and I probably, we think it's best that the CJC and the UA kind of work on this at the same time. I plan to have the CJC meet 1 week prior to the UA, where we'll be discussing those issues and try to keep us on the same timeline. Further, I think we're gonna do some like working sessions where other governing bodies and whoever would wanna come, kind of like opening it to public comment from the start, just to stay transparent, hear what people have to say, see if like there's some awkward language potentially. Like, I'd love students' input primarily, because it's gonna be about student readability, also faculty and staff for those portions. Sorry, I'm trying to make this quick. So some things we're gonna be considering are, currently it was recommended that the faculty and staff are removed from the code and that it's just strictly a student code of conduct. So that's something that we'll all be discussing. And secondly, to look into the role of the JA, how that role is incorporated into other universities or the most similar role within other universities, and just the structure of reporting. And so we'll be doing that also. The goal is to be done in December, which means that this is going to be a very aggressive and fast-paced process. But at the same time, if we feel like we are not putting out the work product that we want, we need to stay true to ourselves and make sure that we are sending something out that is going to be beneficial and doesn't need to be revised anytime in the near future. My second point is about the university hearing and review boards. We've had some hiccups over the past couple of years, and it doesn't seem like it's been a completely smooth process with either people getting left off of resolutions to the UA or returning members not realizing that their terms have expired and having no like concrete way of realizing the end of the two-year term without writing it down from the start. So we'll be just discussing how to make that process work more efficiently so that hopefully this year, once we finalize that process, we do not have to have the next person in this position keep moving towards things from the last semester. I think that's it.
Let me add just a little bit of
this. Yeah, of course.
You know, I said some of this before you came to the beginning, but
the
president and the trustees are very eager to just get this done soon. And they recognize that we have the authority to do it, but they also feel we have not done particularly well in the time we've had in the past. And so I really think we need to do what we want to do, but we also should do it as efficiently and effectively as we can. I met Logan, and I did push the University Council to release it, and she really wanted to just talk to either Logan or I. And I said, you know, so we need to, we're going to get done this fall. You guys all need to be involved. So I pushed hard, and we got it. I met with her an hour this morning so we're all friendly, and since she was here too, I pushed it up. And we had a very friendly chat. She said she and her staff are eager and willing to help in any way they can. They'd like guidance from us as to exactly what the next steps are. She has some strong feelings about aspects of it. I must say I found her pretty persuasive when she's talking to me about it. So one of the thoughts they have, it doesn't show up in the draft that you have, but when talking to her, I can see what she means now. She thinks the details of the code in terms of what's allowed or not really are and should be student-centric. She points out that they don't apply to those of us who are faculty in any way that has anything to do with our working relationship, because we all have contracts to specify. So it really doesn't apply to us now. It just sort of seems like maybe it does. But she'd like clarity for that. She actually said she doesn't think that the code or current policies are adequately protected for faculty interests. And she's interested in talking to Charlie and saying to the Senate, and maybe we will push ahead with something that's a little more protective for the faculty interests outside of this. I said, you know, I thought we ought to have a single statement that applies to everyone on the campus about free speech, what's allowed, what's not. And she said that that's a great idea. We could have a preamble of everything that's important, but then the details of, you know, what happens when you get caught with alcohol at the wrong time. And she also feels that that should be less of a prosecutorial sort of thing and more of a deliberative healing sort of process. She has ideas. So, you know, I'm not, I think the draft, they worked hard on that draft. I'm not going to defend it or challenge it. But I will say that in the hour I spent with her in person, I came away much more favorably inclined towards where she's going with it than I had been just with the draft. And so it may make sense to engage her with us soon.
I want to add a couple more things. So I probably should have started off with this. A couple of us were on the CJC last semester and last year, and also this committee knows very well that we dropped the ball and that it just wasn't getting pushed through. People who were passionate about it weren't really having their voices heard. I just wanted to say that my goal is not to have any behind the door meetings. I don't plan on having any. In fact, I refuse them. I didn't look at our draft until it was okay for the eyes of everyone here, because I just refuse to do that because it's not up to me. And I plan to be transparent, and we all are going to be collaborative. And that also means that the council's office is going to be a collaborative group that's working alongside us. And I don't foresee any like issues. I mean, we'll see what happens when it comes, but I'm happy to meet with anyone about the code. And if anyone has concerns about the code, I want everyone to feel comfortable coming out, because I made it my mission to get this code out. And I think that the CJC working with the UA at the same time is going to get that accomplished.
Richard.
So Michael, I was on the CJC last year. And we did pass a preamble dealing with freedom of speech that applied to faculty, staff, students. And that's gonna be an issue. Really think that part of the of what should be a code should apply to everyone in the university community equally. It should all be encompassed. I don't care about that, so forth, but I do care about that. The second big issue we did not address, or at the end did not address, is bringing the fraternity and sorority under the campus code, which I really think should happen. All students should be in all venues that are university venues. That is another thing that would be an issue. And a rough, only got this today, but a very rough reading of this draft. Boy, it's really about, you know, what students have to do. We should read it really carefully for the code of conduct is also the constitution of what we can do to students, not we, the administration. That I think that really needs to be looked at carefully. Those are the three issues I see. And I think, Logan, we should meet as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And really start there. What are the big issues that deal with this? And that's it.
Joe?
Yeah, I guess just because there are more like larger questions about the campus code of conduct, such as is it campus or is it student code of conduct? And then there are like the other details. How is the CJC planning? Because it's like the CJC could make a recommendation, but I think one of the big issues that happened last year is that the CJC wasn't as proactive of sending stuff to this body so we could consider stuff and then we could provide feedback, so it was more of a circular loop. So is there going to be a division of labor like that?
We need to work in parallel.
Yeah, so the plan is to work in parallel. Okay. And everything that the CJC does will be addressed by the UA the following week.
Okay.
And then I also plan on having working sessions, because since we're dealing with not just students but also faculty and staff as well, I want to at least have the door open for people to give their opinions prior to it going to public comment, because I think that just kills two birds with one stone, and we can potentially address all of those concerns ahead of time. And then when it goes to public comment, of course, we're gonna still have concerns, but the plan is CJC meets, then the UA meets, and we're discussing the same issues.
Okay.
So the CJC will technically be 1 week ahead, but I think that's okay.
Okay.
And then I am going to set a schedule for like some working sessions that are not mandatory, but anyone is welcome to come across the community. And I'm going to highly target all of the governing bodies to at least send one person.
I mean, in the end, it's the UA that adopts or does not.
Yep.
Right. So the CJC is doing the work, but you don't want to be too far to work without dealing with these big issues. And as I say, I think we really need to adopt most of it this fall, or else we may not have the opportunity. Because although we have the authority, the trustees can take that authority. Yes.
So I'm of a differing opinion than Richard and think that we should make this stick with the student code of conduct, my own personal opinion. We handed this idea over to the professionals and that's what they came up with. They said this is trying to speak to too many people in two different areas. There are other areas where employees can be addressed with their own policies as well as faculty with their own policies. And if the university council looked at a campus code of conduct and said student was the word that they focused on in their mind, if we can get that out, that covers like the majority of the people that are here for, you know, really good reasons, and then say we've got that done by December, now let's work on what it means and for faculty and staff. That would just be my opinion, because if you try to do too much, that's going to be a thing. As well as if it is not impossible, it would be really great to see a before and after of the way that it looks in some kind of organizational way, so when it comes up on the screen we can say here it talked techno speak and it told you how many demerits you got, but over here it tells you what it means to like a human being and what is the educational way that you would find your way out of the student or the situation. Because I'm not going to be able to memorize the old one and look at the new one and say, hey, that like makes really, really a lot of good sense to me. So my vote would be, or not so much a word vote, but I would say stick with what we got and try to do the best with that at this stage. And the Greek life thing, the first time I ever heard about that was last year in one of the presentations. And that is like, we could all work our entire lives as full-time jobs to try to straighten that out right now. And none of us would be able accomplish it, even though I did say Cornell could do anything. But I'm telling you, we can't. Not yet. But at some point, that would make a lot of sense that we don't have 6 to 10 judicial systems all for like what happened.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think we have to, clearly it's a big topic, and we all have personal opinions about the different things. So this is about the organization and how we how the workflows back and forth. So I think you want to also have like a brain trust. For example, everyone's extremely busy. They can't all sign up to be on the CJC or show up here. So for example, a cluster of law faculty who are interested and look over our shoulders, okay? Everyone in the current judicial administrator office, ex-judicial administrators, the ombudsman, we need a point person in the university council's office. We need people who will just watch. They can't come to meetings, but they have that the collective wisdom there is really important. I worry a little bit about your 1 week thing, but I have more to say about that in a second. But there really has to be, everything has to be open. I don't understand why the council is very reticent, why Bob had to drag it out. Yeah. This isn't ready for publication, for a display. Yeah. Everything should be public from day one. That's the whole point. Any display of reticence about having this out there, it sends the wrong message. I think we all understand the notion of a rough draft. A public rough draft is what, any instance is what we need. So, but anyway, so I think we need a really clear channel, because I looked through all the CJC minutes from last year, and you had proposals, as Joe said, that never came here, never. Yeah. And that has to end. I mean, there was a lack of there was a barrier between the CJC and the UA, and that really, and you pointed that out.
Yeah. We're not going to do that this year.
Yeah.
That's all of the committees report to the UA. Your job is to help them do it. Okay.
Yeah, so I just want to say that this is a completely new committee than last year. I think that there's going to be maybe 3 returning members. It might just be the 2 of us. I don't know. But either way, it's a completely new group. I don't feel comfortable opening up the council's draft to public opinion, because that is not something that we need to consider. Like, we can choose to consider it, but at the end of the day, we were tasked with doing it. And to do that is to take away any sort of direction that we had as a committee or we have as a governing body and give it to the hands of the council's office. So I will be giving the old language with the council's proposed language and also parts of our working draft every time we go through something, but this needs to go to the CJC before we can start opening anything else, just because it's not a product of the UA. It's a product of the council's office, and they weren't tasked with doing it.
Yeah, it's not relevant to the point that's being raised here, but it has to do with the coverage of the whole campus. And as we were putting together the last version of the campus code, Alice and I were talking about it. We had a long discussion about who it covers on campus. And we decided on, the committee decided on the UA ratified that it would be for everyone here because it is a campus code. That is, it deals with when people are on the campus, how they behave, no matter who they are. It's in broader classes. And we understand there are separate vehicles for handling questions of the, and it's built into the description of the code. That's not to say that I think that needs to continue. What it is to say is that I think probably there needs to be a shift of the name, that it should be a student code of conduct, if it's going to be a student code of conduct and not a campus code of conduct. And there are, because we looked at these things many years ago when we did the revisions, all around the country, many student codes of conduct that can that could be looked at, you know, and see. There are some of them even in the office of the that can be considered as student codes and student codes alone. That would mean revising a lot of things, but I'm really much against the idea of calling a campus code of conduct and then say it's for students only. Yeah. Seems to me to be a ridiculous.
But there are a lot of issues to talk about here, and structurally, we'll have time, even though it's a rushed agenda, but there are hybrid possibilities. And again, the council, the university council this morning, in talking to me, pointed that out. We could have a campus code that talks about our freedom of speech, our general rights, our general protections, and then still have a student code that deals with the nitty gritty of things that are really student specific. So it doesn't have to be either or. So.
Right. Okay, good.
We can have more discussions, but I'd like to save some time for Charlie to introduce his idea, and this will pick us back around.
Quick question. If we were to split up a campus code and a student code, would we be expected to complete that under the same deadline of December? Separate codes?
I think we should keep talking to the university. And my sense of the politics is that if we come up with a student code on the student code issues, the university council this morning gave me some briefings on some horror stories of how the code is being applied at the moment. And so he feels, and the president feels, a convergence on that. That's where the pressure is coming from. So if we make good progress on that and continue to do the rest, I think that's okay. But obviously, the more we can do more quickly, the better off we are. Right? But that would be their priority, I'm sure of that. Doesn't have to be ours.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to move on to Charlie. And Charlie is kindly, let me step back. As dean of the faculty, Charlie pioneered a way to have discussions outside of the formal meetings. I think it works quite well in the Senate. He suggested at the end of last year that we try it in the UA, and I think it's a great idea. And he offered to help lead the charge. So, Charlie.
Yeah, actually, so let's actually, just so this continuity with what we just talked about, if you go to the second page. So over the Navy Day weekend, I HTML'd the campus code. First of all, you're supposed to kind of shy away from PBS from the standpoint of web accessibility. But anyway, it's what this means, if you look at that, is that the code has like 40 sections, okay? And you direct links to each of them. So if you want to talk about something specific, you can go right to that point. The document itself is like 40 pages long. So I'm proposing this as I think all of our bylaws should be like this. I asked the trust, the university bylaws are not like this. You go down the list, and this makes it hard to talk about these documents and to make refinements of them. So anyway, I think this will make it easier for us to talk about specific topics. So if you turn go back to page 3, this is now about how I think we should run our meetings so that they're super efficient, because they're going to be half of them. Yeah, half of them. So So I think we can do a bunch of things to streamline whatever. So the committee reports, I don't think we need them unless there's something dramatic going on. Committee should have websites where you can go and read basic information. Ditto for the assemblies. We don't need assembly reports unless there's something dramatic going on. In terms of guest presentations, you know, they're very useful. You get to meet people. On the other hand, if they're purely informational and we can read about them, I think we should read about them. Okay, so I think we have to be very careful about how we give out this precious time that we have here, because we're under the gun as far as the code is concerned. And I think we want to clear as big a path for us to do our work. But anyway,
I didn't know for just for a minute, yeah. Because we have a relatively few number of meetings this year. On October 1st, which is our next meeting, Martha Pollack will be here. And right. She's interested in the code, and we'll talk code.
Sure.
The second meeting will be November. I unfortunately will not be here. Laura's going to do it, but the campus judicial enforcer will be here.
Right.
So we're talking code. Okay. And our December meeting, the last one of the year, the provost, Mike Kotlikoff, will be here, and he wants to talk about what his new sustainability program is. So we've got high-level people focused on what's critical.
We need much more. The topics came up here about the code applied to faculty, and there's lots of high-level the fraternities, lots of high-level stuff to talk about. If you look down here, this is a cooked-up agenda item. So, for example, I also HTML one part of the draft proposal that came, the one that listed out all the things you can't do, okay? And so that might be a topic you would discuss. As Chris said, it's nice to have before and after. So those are the two sections that you see that are linked to the current code that do this, and then you'd have some proposed code. So you have a very specific, focused discussion of something like that. So, and the key is to do homework in advance. That's why I'm a little bit nervous about the one week, you know, maybe it'll work or whatever. Yeah, well, I think it's procrastinated around, so I don't do it homework the night before the UA meetings. But this is a real critical thing. And if you want to do a time assessment, we all have a meeting costs you 2.5 hours out of your schedule, right? And we're going down, we're having a number of meetings. So there's extra time in there. And we have to spend part of that time educating ourselves, reading the handouts that go with the an agenda topic. If the CJC says something about, you know, here are five things to think about when you're thinking about fraternities and to study that kind of stuff. So that when you show up here, there's real discussion, no nonsense, getting right to the issue. Again, if we don't do this, it's going to be a year like last year. A lot of talk, and we'll learn a lot, but we won't have anything to show for it. So I'm really keen on streamlining this process. And focusing it. We can't, you know, one topic at a time. Then going back to the front page, again, making stuff easy to get hold of. So this is an experiment. It's a project just to driven by this pressure we're under, okay? Easy access to what all the committees are doing. We have three big things in the smoking ban, the existing code, and the proposed code. I think it should, if you go there, you can see the state of where we are at any instance. So I'm a big fan of everything out in the open, public rough drafts. We can't have any kind of tug of war with who owns this. Is it, you know, UA versus council? We can't have anything like that at all. If we do, again, we're setting ourselves up for failure. And then, as I said, there's no need to recap what the assemblies are doing. If you have, if we pay attention, if you're part of one of the assemblies, it's your responsibility for outsiders to see what you're doing. So I think we should really create that expectation. I mean, it's interesting to, you know, to hear what's going on, and it, there's a measure of efficiency there if it goes quickly. But again, every minute counts. I'm sorry to be dramatic, but I think that's sort of how I'm thinking about this.
Everyone was sent via email the links. So the same physical printout that Charlie has, you should have gotten that email in the last one that went out, that you can see this side now.
And I'm in total agreement that we really need to focus in and spend our time discussing the big substantive issues that we need to have consensus on in order to finish this up. So everything that the three committees are doing, I think, is important. My priority would be getting this posting done by December, while the other stuff moves along. Yeah, well.
In terms of this format, okay, number one, it would require that the right after the meeting or during it, there's a really good set of minutes to be put on it. Somebody has to maintain this. So I'm, yeah, you can do it, Gina, right? You have nothing else to do. You just maintain this.
Well, we have minutes, right?
So, well, but it has to be entered. The sites have to be maintained. This is not just an inconsequential thing. Is your office going to do it?
Who's going to maintain minutes from this meeting?
No. Here's this assembly website. Who's going to maintain the website?
Oh, I'll do that.
Okay, no, that's fine, as long as we know who it is.
Yeah.
Right. The second is there going to be the opportunity within this website, so I go and I read it before the meeting, to comment on what's there?
Yes.
Because okay. I don't see that here.
Page has comments. So here's the agenda for October. Here are the things we're going to talk about. Here are some documents that we should read, and then you can comment. And that would be totally visible to every, you know, the public.
Yeah, I mean, if you have the ability to comment,
sure,
as well as comment on the comments, like the old letters to the editor,
yep,
then that means when we do come to this group meeting,
right,
there may be more substantive things to talk about. And we
exactly.
Don't have to,
that's the goal.
Okay. Okay. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So,
see, yeah, Charlie has kindly offered to do it. PR will be working closely with him. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, so if the topic was, should faculty be under the code, all right, that's a sample topic that we really, you have to go to comments to walk in here with a sense of two sides of that story.
Yeah, that, yeah. And then back to who's going to maintain the site and basically edit those kinds of comments. Okay, that's fine.
When we come together in our face-to-face meetings, we already have had a discussion going on.
We know
what the issues are. We can argue a little bit more, and we vote. We don't start the discussion.
No,
that's the goal.
That's the question I was asking. Thank you for clarification.
Yeah. Just thinking, we've got four meetings.
Yeah,
three more.
Well, three more. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was thinking, you know, an hour and a half is probably too short. I wonder, should go to 2 hours or 2.5 hours. I think longer meetings tend to be more productive than two shorter meetings. So I'm all in favor of reducing the number, but I anticipate we're going to have real discussions that take up real time. And so, with the executive committee.
Is that a motion?
Other thoughts, comments?
Charlie, thank you for putting this together. I'm happy to try something new at the UA. I look forward to trying to work on this. For the chairs who are likely to be working with a committee member to put information onto this website, coming up with how do we do that would be something that would be helpful. Whether, I don't know if you want me to just email bomb you all my...
Well, first of all, the fallback is, you know, they're already, every committee has on the main UA website, you can find out what the agendas are, their meeting packets and all that. The default, you don't have to do anything, okay? But if you could provide a two-sentence thing, this is what we're working on. Nothing big. But, and also, if you are doing something dramatic or new, or if a crisis comes up or whatever, sure, you have a committee report. Just to streamline it, because already with, you know, it's great to have the president and the provost come, but that's 25%. We've knocked out 25% of the fall.
Yeah.
So there are really three meetings, really only two. Mm. Two meetings left. So,
so we have to have a lot of this discussion outside of the meetings. So.
Yeah. But I think it'd be
more. Or maybe have longer meetings. I'm not.
But you can also, I think if there's a section that we agree on, then it's done, and then you just put it aside. It's not, like, you don't save up everything for one gigantic big goal at the end.
No, I mean, there are a bunch of issues with the code, but I think they fall into a couple of discrete questions, right? Difficult ones. So we handle those one at a time and make decisions.
Yeah.
Just real quick, I think this is great, by the way. I'm just curious. It's a great idea from the standpoint of efficiency, you know, structurally to be able to do a lot of this stuff on the outside. you know, in the synopsis here, it says that this is an experiment. What is the long view of the longer curve of time? Who's going to manage or administer this? You know, like in the EA, I have coding background because I'm a communications guy, but I'm not always there. If we wanted to implement something like this, like what is the future as you see for a system like this or a website like this?
Well, I'm on paper, just an experiment. Let's try it and try. Say, okay, it works, and then you think long term. So we'll know a lot more like in March and April and so on.
And Adam, we used to, for example, I was on a committee with Charlie, mm-hmm. who were looking at the other academic titles, right? So the RTE. That whole year, we worked off of this sort of system. So the material, the communication, the comments, everything was off of that system, which was pretty easy and simple to maneuver, and really facilitated a lot of the comments and communications.
I love it. I think it's great. And I just, like, if we wanted to do something like this at the EA, I'm curious. Like I could probably replicate something like this myself in 10 years or something like that. That's what I'm curious about. Where would a...
I'm a very simple.
right.
Like when we had snow days, I sent up to all the employees on what you think of a snow day.
Yeah.
I got like 400 comments, and they were extremely useful. It's like it's low overhead and easy.
True.
It's not a fancy social network.
I agree. I think it's great. I really do.
Other comments or questions? Yeah. We actually have 10 minutes if you want to go back to something.
So the president's coming on October.
October 1st.
Why don't we ask her, what are your thoughts about faculty inside or outside the code? So that it's really get the two or three, they like having questions in advance. Mm-hmm. Make them real code specific questions. Have her team.
That's a good idea. We could ask her that. Did you get that?
Mm-hmm. So I sent her the draft of the freedom of speech incorporating everybody. And she said, this is great.
Yeah, good.
So I might circulate that here in advance of the mm-hmm. meeting. Mm-hmm. And it gives us something to bounce off.
So that's something. You send it to me and we put it up on the website so everybody can look at it.
Yeah. That would be great.
So just a quick clarification. Why not exactly on the website? Would that be under the agenda?
Yeah, so like in October, you'll click on October and you'll see President Pollack's coming and here are three questions we posed to her. And you can comment on those in advance if you want.
And we'll try to support the CJC discussion in the same way. Marty?
It was brought up and you even mentioned it as a possibility to have an extra half hour added on. And lest that be glossed aside, can we have a substantive discussion about that and maybe make a motion about it? Because I agree, when President Pollack comes, I remember, well, through the years, when anybody comes, the whole meeting is taken up with that conversation, even if there's a short period, supposedly, that's been allotted for it. Being left with two meetings, with all the things even that we have here that are unfinished business, doesn't make any sense. So if a motion is in order, I move that we extend all the meetings for this and next semester to 2 hours rather than 1.5.
Well, you're going into the I think people with families might have some issues there. But it reminds me, like NSF said, your proposal has to be 15 pages, and then people started using 8-point fonts, and then they have to come out and say, you can't use 8-point fonts. So there's a thing here, 90 minutes, really, let's try 90 minutes and see what happens. But going into like 6:30, I wouldn't do
that. That would be my preference, too, for clients, because I do understand
what
you're doing. And we may need to schedule an extra meeting, but a lot of this, I think if we have focused discussion offline and the CJC is paying careful attention to it, I think we can do it.
Okay. Just to kind of add on to that, I think the 90-minute period would allow us to be focused and streamline the information then we figure out we can always add on to you.
For October 1, the only thing on the agenda so far is what's the fall for the year. She's only here for half an hour. We can keep the discussion code focused, and we can have the other code issue. CJC can come back to us with a specific thing. We can start the RDA trip. And then, you know, we'll spend October, we start discussing those things now. We do it in person on October 1. We do it offline more again through October, and maybe by November.
But if we pick the free speech thing and the fraternity thing, those are two things she's really passionate and up to date about. Then that entire October meeting speaks directly to the code.
Yeah.
Mike's thing is sustainability, right? So that's November.
Mike is December. December, whatever
the
it is. The JA is November. I'm not here in November, and I apologize.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I'm not crazy about voting to extend the meetings, but I do think it's important that we remember that we always have the ability to make a motion to extend our meetings that day. So as long as we don't lose quorum, we can just kind of take it meeting by meeting.
And I would ask members to think that that's a possibility when you schedule. I can try to do it and be done by 6. To me, 90 minutes is a long time to sit and do it. I personally need to get up and walk around. It. Any other comments? Yes, Chris.
So I'd like to talk about, real quickly, the standing committee composition. So I got my faculty representatives, but I haven't got student or GPSA or employee assembly related people to sat on my committee. David, at least from the website, it looks like he's in the same boat. CJC, a few more people. We used our mailing list from last year, I think, to pretty much email who was still around. But the rules say, unless otherwise specified, each committee consists of 11 voting members, reappointed by and from the voting membership of the assembly. So 3 people from the UA have to be on each one of our CJC, CWC, CIC. 1 appointed by each constituent assembly from their voting membership. So 1 from the GPSA, 1 from the students, who is a voting member of those assemblies. And then 1 appointed by each constituency from the assemblies, but is a constituent. So just to point out that there is still detailed level staffing that has actually happened for these meetings.
Thank you for bringing that up. Under the bylaws, it is Jeff's responsibility to work with the committee chairs and try to make that happen. And to reach out to Joe and the leaders, Charlie.
Yeah.
And
so what I'm going to do is I'm going to reach out to all 4 of you just to figure out the current composition. And then once we figure out like what are the needs across the board, then I'll relay with the individual subcommittees and try and get those sorted out. So we'll talk about that more remotely. That'd be much more helpful. But it's good to bring it up now in case, like, for example, like Andy or anyone else is here that can directly relay those people.
And it'd be good to do that fairly soon.
Yeah, so
the
you
committees
should
are
check that email. Like, I'll send it out to maybe even today. Just get that information from all of you, because I need it also for my, because that's part of my fiduciary duties to make sure that that's clear across the board.
Thank you, Vice Chair for Operations, Jeff.
A great job. I had it and did a lousy job with that. Any other? That was a great thing to bring up, Chris. Thank you. Anything else? If not, I'd ask for a motion to adjourn.
Move.
All those in favor? Aye. Close. We are adjourned. Thank you
thank
for
you
a
much.
Very efficient meeting. And,
anybody ever
for your comments?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about it that way.
I'm going to have an offer.